You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to BGN Radio with Brandon Lee Gowton and Jimmy Kemsky.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? This is BGN Radio episode number 265. I'm Jimmy Kemsky from PhillyVoice.com. With me, as always, is Brandon Lee Gowton of BleedingGreenNation.com. This is, of course, the DeAndre Torrey emergency podcast. Eagles signing former North Texas running back DeAndre Torrey. Just kidding, of course. They were very light on running backs. Kenny Gainwell is out with a hip injury. And who else? Is he the only one? Is there another running back?
Kenneth Gainwell is out with the hip, and then Boston Scott is out with a concussion.
Oh, the concussion, right. So they only have three running backs going into this preseason game. Miles Sanders isn't going to play very long, maybe a series or two. So it would basically just be him, Jason Huntley, and
Kennedy Brooks
in that game. So they probably just wanted to add another guy for that game and, you know, hang around until either Boston Scott and or Kenny Gainwell return. Interesting, though, is, you know, to be determined how long those two guys are going to be out. But before we get into all that and our practice notes for the day, why don't you tell me about the meat snacks that we all buy and love and get discounts on?
RighteousFelon.com, discount code BGN20 for 20% off your order. I'll keep it that simple for the people. You go to the website. You can find out everything you need right there, righteousfelon.com, discount code BGN20.
So I think we should start today with Jalen Hurts. Let's just get him out of the way right off the bat, because I think this was one of his better days, if not his best day. We should note, first of all, that it was a really short practice today. They only went an hour, and they'll have a walkthrough tomorrow, and then they have their first preseason game against the Jets on Friday. But I thought he was really good today. I normally don't watch 7-on-7s, as our regular listeners know. I like to go watch the O-line, D-line, one-on-ones, which run concurrently normally with 7-on-7s. But I watched the 7-on-7s today because there was no O-line, D-line, one-on-ones. And I'm glad I did, because Jalen Hurts had two great throws during that session. The first one was to A.J. Brown, who I've noted over and over again, does a good job of not tipping off opposing corners when the ball is approaching, which just adds to his already very good contested catch prowess. That was a touchdown for like 30 yards or so. And then on the next play, he hit Zach Pascal on another long throw, not longer than that one, but another long throw. But that was more of like a dart than it was a lofted deep ball to A.J. Brown. That was more of like that ball had zip on it. And in my opinion, that was one of his most impressive throws of camp. For me, I thought it was like the most encouraging throw of camp for a number of reasons. One, it came out on time. Two, it was in a good spot up high where Pascal could go up and get it. Nobody else could. Three, it had good velocity on it. And four, it was to the left side of the field where we know he doesn't really want to throw the ball. So really encouraging day for me. For me, it's clear stock up for him.
It's clear stock up day. I think both of those were well said. I think he had his flashiest plays, or at least some of them, of camp. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been necessarily a very flashy camp for him, even on some of his better dates. But I thought those two throws definitely were really good. The zip is the same term that I use in my practice notes. So I think it's funny we both saw that. We both kind of noticed that as a big quality. And then the accuracy, too, on both of those throws. I thought that was really good to see. He's been working the field, middle of the field, you know, more. He's also been throwing to the left more often than probably he has in the past. And those are all very positive signs. I don't think this was like an A-plus practice for him. And then that, there, you know, there's some things that could have been better. But on the whole, I think the positive outweighed the bad, which is why I was also stepped up for him.
All right. You want to get to your next point?
Yeah, so kind of figuring out where I want to go here, I guess, because it wasn't a long practice, but there were some notable things. I thought, I don't know where I want to go, Jimmy, because there's like a lot of little things.
All right, well, I got one. Okay. A quick news item to start the day off before we even got to practice. Nick Sirianni said that the starters will play a series or two in the preseason game against the Jets. So for those of you who tune in sometimes for preseason games and the backup or the third stringers are in there, and then you like you realize, okay, and then after 10 minutes, you turn the game off and you're watching the Phillies or something else, there's actually a good reason to watch, at least for a little while, if you're only interested in watching, you know, the starters play. So they will get some playing time. I was curious whether they play at all, because some teams do it that way, but it looks like Nick Sirianni is going to have them play a series or two, and then to be determined if they play at all in the second game. I'm pretty sure they won't play at all in the third game. But at least in this first game, they're going to get some playing time.
I saw some people say on Twitter they were surprised that was the case, that Sirianni talked about the starters playing a series or two. But, I mean, as we kind of talked about earlier this week, and you lost a bet to me, and that's what they did last year for the first game, which they also didn't have joint training camp practices ahead of. So it seems like that's kind of the deal. Like, no joint training camp practices, and starters are going to play a series or two.
Right.
Shake some rust off. I think it's fine. In general, I like to think of, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen if the starters play in the preseason, and it's that they suffer a season ending injury and they're out for the year. And like the worst thing by not playing is probably they're like a little rusty, you could say. I think, you know, I would take a little rusty over key player out for the entire year. But given how controlled of a, like, it's, you know, it's a pretty small sample size. Not putting them out there for a whole quarter. It's two drives. I mean, you know, they're going to have to play football at some point. I think that's fine. I'm okay with it. What about you?
I think they go up top to AJ, like
T.O.
Like they did with Donovan and T.O.
Yeah.
In 2004.
Yes, I do. I mean, I feel like this is a self-aware coaching staff. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're aware of the history. I don't know if they're that deeply aware of the Eagles history or whatever, but yeah, I think that's like a shot to AJ Brown.
Do I think, why not? The guy who ran the Philly special last year is maybe reprise another moment in Eagles history. Not impossible. Okay. Yes. So,
do you remember what game that was?
It was against the Ravens.
It was not No. I mean the Philly special.
Oh, yeah, that was against the 49ers in week two.
Very good. But you're also correct. Yeah, the T.O., was it 80 yards? I guess it was a touchback and then 80-yard touchdown throw from Donnie Mack to T.O.
I will not forget that.
People were fired up about that. I was fired up
about that. Like, young
that's pro-
me.
That's probably like the number – that was bigger than the Sam Bradford 10-for-10 game in Green Bay. But yeah, that T.O. touchdown was huge when that happened.
So your quick take on the starters playing, like, are you cool with that?
It's fine. I mean, just be careful. Like, don't have these 7-step dropbacks or anything like that. You know, make sure you're getting the ball out quickly when you throw. And there's no need to have Miles Sanders out there carrying more than two times in this game. Just be smart with what you're doing. I think it was a good question by Tim McManus during the press conference when he asked whether, you know, look, is it worth the risk when your top two left tackles are concussed? But then later we found out in practice that Mailata and Dillard would be participating in 11-on-11s in that practice. So those guys will both be ready to go, I would assume, for that game. So, you know, less of a concern there if Mailata is your starting left tackle instead of Coyote Awashika, for example. So, I just be careful with what you do. If it's a long drive, sustain it and you score, then out of there. Like, just one drive and done. If you're three and out, then yeah, send them back out for another drive. Sure. And then depending on how that goes, maybe they play again in the second preseason game. But I think it's fine. You want to get them maybe a little bit of work, but the NFL in general is trending towards not having their best players participate in the preseason, which in my opinion is smart.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I guess the biggest thing I had from today's practice outside of Hurts, who again I thought more good than bad, was Zach Pascal looking good, like especially in 7-on-7 and in notably too, because they were doing like kind of, if not red zone, you know, like 30-yard line, so just outside the red zone. And I think that's an area where he's going to be an underrated factor this year. I think fantasy football owners are going to be frustrated at times to be like, oh, like, come on, like Zach Pascal, not Goddard or Brown or or Devontae Smith. And don't get me wrong, I think those guys are still obviously important players on the team. But I think in terms of just pure statistics and utilization, I think if you're hoping for touchdowns, you know, you're probably going to get more out of them than, let's say, you know, Zach Pascal than Quez Watkins, for example. So, yeah, I think he's a factor down there. He's bigger. He's pretty athletic. Like, he looked pretty good. And this is him looking good, too, coming off of losing 16 pounds suddenly because he had a bad quesadilla. Like,
right.
For him to look, you know, pretty solid here in this setting is pretty, this soon is pretty encouraging. I don't want to overreact too much to just a couple practices, but I did think he looked good. You weren't there in the spring. He had a really good practice in the spring as well. It seems like him and Hurts, for whatever reason, have kind of formed a fast bond there, and they seem to be really on the same page. So yeah, definitely stock up for Zach Pascal. Definitely think he is going to be a factor in the red zone.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a major upgrade over J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in his role last year, because he's going to do a lot of the dirty work, blocking and stuff. And you said he's big. What is he listed at? 6'2", 220, something like that. So he's kind of a bully type of wide receiver. And I've seen clips of him on Twitter blocking, like chipping on guys, like just de-cleating defensive ends. So he's a tough player. He's going to play some special teams, I would imagine, as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if he played as many as, like, and I put this in my notes, but as many as like 500 snaps. This season, is that out of control for him to play that kind of number? Because guys are going to go down too. He's going to have to, and it's a guy that started 44 games over his career before he came to Philadelphia, and in four seasons in the league. So he's got a lot of experience. He can play inside, he can play outside. And yeah, he had a good day today. I agree. He caught a lot of, I mean, in addition to the pass that I talked about earlier today, I saw him catch at least five passes today. Which is, you know, nice for him, because again, like you said, he had the illness, and we didn't see much of him over the how many practices did he miss? Like six, I think.
Six or seven.
Five or six.
Yeah.
And he was limited participant in at least one or two of those. So his training camp is just kind of beginning now, and to come in cold against guys that have been playing for a while now you can see, you know, why he's not a star player, obviously, but you can see why he's been a starter in the NFL for 3 or 4 years.
I think he gets thought of as wide receiver 4 because you're putting him behind AJ, sure, and Devontae and Quez. But I that might be who the Eagles think is potentially their best lineup generally. But I think in terms of snap count, I don't think it's crazy that he might end up being wide receiver 3. He might end up playing the third most snaps of any receiver. I don't think that's impossible. Or at least, you know, if he's behind Quez, I don't think it's by, like, you know, leaps and bounds. I think that margin separating them could be pretty close. And that's not a slight on the Quez. I just think I think they like Pascal a lot.
Here's how I'll put it. So I think you're right that Pascal will probably get a similar amount of snaps as Quez. They're going to dial up more plays for Quez, like more specific plays for Quez deep down the field.
Well, those plays,
but and they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that so much with Pascal. Well, but Pascal is going to be involved. He'll be in, you know, on the field, and yeah, I assume they'll get him the ball on like screens and stuff like that, and you know, as second, third option or whatever on a play. But yeah, I'd be surprised if he didn't get a healthy amount of playing time.
I think he could be a top option in specific situations. I mean, obviously, you want to go to AJ Brown. AJ Brown is your top, and it's very clearly Jalen Hurts' top option. But, you know, like thinking that they might have coverage shaded that way, or, you know, he's getting double teamed or helped or whatever a lot, like they could be like, okay, we like this one-on-one matchup with Pascal because he's going to get a one-on-one matchup. And if it's a third down, if it's in the red zone, let's go to him. I do think there could be some of that.
Could be matchup related too. If you get some shrimpy little slot corner in there and you're going to play Pascal more than you might play Quez, you get some bigger slot corner that just can't match Quez's speed, then that's something that you can attack as well.
Yeah, I do think there's going to be some mix and match in there. Elsewhere, I guess it's your turn because I went on Pascal.
Yeah. Let's talk about Jalen Reagor real quick too, because last year, well, today I should note that I did my stock up, stock down media poll which I'll be publishing on Thursday morning. So in doing that, I went back and looked at old stock up, stock down media polls. And last year he had 4 stock down votes, which was second to Andre Dillard, who ran away with it last year. I think he had 12 or something like that. But I only mentioned that to say that I think there was this perception that Jalen Reagor had a good camp last year, which he didn't. Like, he didn't have a good camp. He had 2 highlight reel catches. One was ridiculous. It was a great one-handed catch in the back of the end zone, kept his feet in, and the Eagles played that endlessly on their social media accounts, and rightfully so. Like, it was an amazing catch. But he didn't play well in camp. He had his share of drops and other miscues, and it just the ball came his way. Too. Yeah, I mean, he went stretches of time without doing anything. And I thought he was deserving of those 4 votes that he got on the stock downside. This year, there haven't been any of those highlight reel catches so much, but I think he's consistently been good. Like, I thought the start to camp, he wasn't great. Like, yeah, the first, you know, 3-4 practices or whatever, but over the last, you know, 6-7 practices rather, he's made all the plays that he should make. Yes. And to me, that's progress for him. There's no way he's getting cut. I mean, mm-hmm. he's going to make the team if he doesn't get traded. He could still very well be traded to some. And there are actually a bunch of teams that, you know, are wide receiver needy and you know, other teams that have had injuries or whatever. So that remains a possibility, in my opinion. But he's going to be on the team. And if he can just make the plays that he should make, then he's not a... in theory anyway, like a terrible depth option. Is like your 5th or 6th wide receiver who can come in and, you know, maybe make a play if you really need him to. Again, like a low bar to clear for him to be better than he was in 2020 and 2021. But I think he's had I think this has been his most consistent camp of his 3 years with
the Eagles. Yeah, it's his best camp by far. And that's an extremely low bar for him to clear, but to his credit, yeah, he has looked better. I still am of the mind that, like, I don't think this means he has turned a corner in a huge way for his career. Although it's positive progress.
He's not Aguilar in 2017.
Right. Yeah. Like, now he's going to be a stud. No. Like, let's, you know, no, hold off on that. It's still a long way to go to that. But now he actually looks like not a total liability right now out there. And, like, to your point, it can at least make some of the plays that are there to be made in a normal way, not like highlight big time consistency, but just, you know, contributing solidly and effectively. And I mean, I almost feel like his value is never going to be higher. So if Howie can pull the trigger, if somehow this word is getting out, there's positive reports, and hey, look, he's going to be playing in these preseason games because he's not a starter anymore.
They're going to feed him,
so
too.
Then they should, and I'm sure he might be able to have some success against backups, because some of the success we have seen him had in camp, not exclusively, but some of like the big touchdown he had at one point, his best play at camp, like that was against backup. So, you know, you get him against some backup talent, you find a receiver needy team, I would not hold on to him and get greedy and be like, well, maybe he's actually figured it out. Like, no, like, he's not going to be a long-term guy here. I would try to take what you can get for him if you can get something decent and get off of that money. And honestly, I really genuinely, not that like the Eagles should care about necessarily what's best for Jalen Reagor, and like getting rid of him. But, like, I just do think it's true that it's best for everyone involved for him to get a change of scenery. It's best for Jalen Reagor. It's best for the Eagles. I think everyone would win from that. So I'm kind of hoping that's how it happens.
What do you got next?
I have Noah Tongiai, Jimmy. Are you excited to talk about okay. Noah Tongiai? I mean, I believe it was you who said next to me on the sideline today, like, hey, he's made a lot of catches recently. And he has. He had a one-handed grab today on a throw over the middle of the field from Gardner Minshew. And, you know, like, the Eagles tight end situation's a little interesting in that we've mentioned before, they're one of their thinner spots in terms of, okay, what if Dallas Goedert goes down? God forbid. Who do you have? Jack Stoll, I think, is still going to make this team. I think he's been solid. He had another solid catch today. But, like, who is that other tight end? Because they're going to keep at least 3. And Tyree Jackson's still on the PUP list, so we don't know exactly what's going to happen with him. Calcaterra looked good early in camp, but has missed a lot of practices now as he recovers from a hamstring injury. I saw him doing some workout on the field after practice, so maybe he's close to returning. Maybe he'll be able to play next week. But Tongia is still here and doing some things, so maybe they kind of just keep him and you don't keep Calcaterra. I don't know. What do you think?
I think there's no way they keep Tongia over Calcaterra. Tongia would have to make his way onto the roster as the fourth guy, in my opinion. I don't know if they have room for that, but I don't think you don't keep Calcaterra because he's hurt when he did show something before he got hurt. And he's a draft pick. So they're going to lean toward keeping the guy they actually picked in the draft, of course. And Tongia, I think, is a guy you can easily just get onto the practice squad if need be. But I agree with you certainly that he has made his share of catches of late and did at least deserve some kind of mention, like at some point during these podcasts. And good for you on giving him a little love.
Teron Jackson, let's also talk about him.
Yeah.
Because it's regularly generated pressure, is the way I put it in my notes. And I didn't think anyone was really doubting his roster spot. A lot of 53-man rosters have consistently had him on the team. I don't know what his role is going to be, but like the more he continues to flash, like he's pushing for more and more snaps, I would say.
I think he's DE4.
Right.
Behind BG, Sweat, and Barnett. And that's sort of what the role of Ryan Kerrigan was last year. And Kerrigan gave him nothing. So they had Teron Jackson working at defensive end and in that like 4-eye spot. He's concentrating just on the edge this year. And he's another guy you mentioned before about how, you know, we were talking about a guy on the sideline. And he's another guy that we watch, that you and I watch specifically on a couple snaps. His get off is good. Like he looks very fast getting off the snap this year. Sacked Gardner Minshew today. Just blew right by. I think it was Josh Sills playing left tackle. So it's not like he beat Mailata like cleanly or whatever, but his get off was really impressive. Got to Minshew for a sack. Very next play, almost got to him again. So he's a guy that I think is probably going to get a good look in these preseason games. Not a ton, but like he'll get some playing time to see if he can you know continue to grow as a player. And he got legit snaps down the stretch last season in the playoff game and in a lot of their wins late in the season. And he had said in his interview, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, that he felt like he was, I don't want to say lost early in the season, but it took him until roughly around like week 6 to start sort of getting comfortable at this level. And he's a guy that you know, if he can make just a modest jump from year 1 to year 2, he can be better than what they got from Ryan Kerrigan last year. Ryan Kerrigan did nothing for them last year until the weird playoff game where all of a sudden he turned into Khalil Mack for a day. But during the regular season, he didn't register a tackle or something like that until the second half of the season, right? Yeah.
I was tracking that each week, like through the snaps counter, or then like, you know, he started to have a couple, but it was like one or two in 100 and whatever snaps played.
Right.
I guess you can say Ryan Kerrigan did go out on top though. Like he did. I mean, he kind of did, not in terms of team success, but in terms of like, he finished on a strong note for him. So I guess, I guess that's something. Okay. Jimmy.
I mean, that was team success for him based on the garbage team he played on throughout his entire career. Otherwise
making the playoffs. I mean, Washington probably did that, what, like a couple times when he was there? But
two or three, if that.
But it had been a while.
Definitely two, but maybe three.
I think it had been since – oh, wait. He was on the – was he on the tank? I guess he was on the tank team. The most recent NFC East champion, the Washington football team in 2020.
Oh, right. Yeah, they're beneficiaries of the Eagles tank.
He was on that team.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. Any other things before we take a break?
Yeah, I was going to say Teron Jackson. I'll add one more thing. So you had the tweet about Jordan Davis was asked about, you know, the rep that sort of went viral of him pushing Juergens back into the. I didn't even think that was that crazy of a rep. Like, honestly, like obviously he pushed Juergens back and it doesn't look great because I thought Juergens kind of hopping back. I mean, he lost that rep from the beginning. He was just doing anything he could to survive on that rep. I thought he did a decent enough job of not getting completely run over. I've seen way worse reps in these practices, and I've seen Jordan Davis have way better reps than that. Him specifically have way better reps than that in these practices. So for that to kind of go viral was a little silly to me in the first place. But then Jordan Davis was asked about it, and he said, "I hate it." And he said that, you know, per your tweet here, it said that it's just one rep, and it's not fair to Juergens, who has beaten him other times in these one-on-one matchups. That's an awesome response by him. It just shows the kind of person and leader I think that he can become. Guys like Jason Kelsey and Brandon Graham aren't going to be around forever. So you're going to at some point need some of these younger guys to step into those leadership roles. And maybe it's a little early to project him into being that. He's only a rookie. But certainly if he's good on the field and he can get the respect from teammates because he's good, again, on the field, then he's a guy just with the kind of personality who can be that kind of leader off the field as well.
Yeah, especially with, you know, Brandon Graham getting older and probably being in, you know, one of his final years, and Fletcher Cox potentially being in his last year at the team, to have, you know, a new leader in the defensive line room, I think will be good there. And honestly, it wasn't like anywhere towards the top, like the very top reasons why I wanted the Eagles to draft him, but it was one of them. I thought that was a nice extra bonus. Is like, wow, this guy, from all accounts, from everything I had heard about him in interviews and watching him myself, like this is a guy who, and especially at a position too, that I feel like isn't always like that. I think you don't necessarily think of your defensive linemen as leaders as you might think of, like, you know, a linebacker or a safety. Yeah. So to get that out of defensive line is a little bit rare too, which kind of just fits, I guess, with him as a rare athlete and a rare kind of player in many respects. It's good. It's good stuff. And it's to the vibes of it all. It's positive vibes for the Eagles. So yeah, I like that a lot. That's one that you just know the fans are gonna like. I feel like when you hear him say that, like, oh, the fans are gonna like this one.
Right.
He's saying all the right things. And
not even in a pandering way. I think he's
very
honest.
Authentic. Yeah. So I'm not saying like he doesn't believe it, but I'm just saying, like, you know, like that kind of authentic. That he knows how to say the right things, and I think he means it, but credit to him. All right, let's take a break here, but not before we hear about Kristen Roach of Roach Realtors and RoachRealtors.com.
Her number is 856-906-9295, voted by God as the best realtor in the history of the universe. Again, 856-906-9295 if you are looking to buy or sell your home. Brandon?
We'll be right back after this.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Back here on BGN Radio, which is brought to you by Kristen Roach of RoachRealtors.com and also Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. Go to RighteousFelon.com. Use discount code BGN20 for 20% off your order. Do it today while that discount code lasts before it goes back down to BGN15. Jimmy, why don't we get into our second half segment here where we both have Jalen Hurts stock up. So that's a no-brainer. And to a larger point on that, I mean, I'm looking at the whole record here, and that's two of the last 3 days are stock up. And he hasn't had a stock down since, I believe, like day six or so. So okay. I think you could make the case he's trending in the right direction.
Yeah. Mirroring what happened during training camp last mm-hmm. year, where he started slower, was up and down early on in training camp. And then as it kind of wore on, he was, you know, playing more consistently and playing better. And it sort of culminated in, you know, a lot of solid performances in the joint practices. So we'll see if we can, we'll see if he can keep up the momentum that he has generated both when they play in joint practices against the Browns in Cleveland and against the Dolphins in Miami.
Joint training camp practices will be big. And I'm also interested to see, because I think these teams are higher quality than the Patriots and the Jets
for sure. The Jets were losers last year.
Definitely. I don't know how great really either Cleveland or Miami's going to be this year. Although this could be honestly the best version of the Browns potentially all year, depending on what happens with Watson. You know, he's practicing is yep. the point. Like, so they're going to have him for practice, and that's going to be a challenge. And then I'm not a Tua guy, but I mean, if Jalen Hurts is getting like outshined by Tua, and it wouldn't be the first time, that would not mm-hmm. be super encouraging. So yeah, those practices are going to be big for him. We'll see how those go in the next couple of weeks here. But both stock up. Who was your MVP for today?
Yeah, I'm going Zach Pascal just because of his, you know, he's new.
Sure.
Like, it's his new guy to name. And just made a lot of catches all over the field. And you know, I give the lion's share of the credit on the long touchdown that he had from Jalen Hurts to Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. But certainly he made a nice – he had the jump for that ball, yes. and he made a nice catch on that play. He's my guy today.
I'll give Jalen Hurts an MVP point. How about that?
Okay, sure.
It's his first one of camp thus far. Arguably his best practice, I think we both said. So why not? Let the record show that I gave him one and Jimmy didn't. So Jimmy is truly the real hater here. I was thinking about Pascal. If you were going to go in a different direction, again, I don't like to double up on the same player unless they had a truly great day or it's such an obvious one. And I don't think Pascal was that good. He deserves the double. So I'll give it one to Jalen Hurts to kind of counteract. Because I think he currently only has two LVP points. So he gets an MVP point here. Speaking of LVP points, who is your LVP?
I don't know.
I know, man. It's a tough one to pick.
I can't think of anything today because it was a short practice. Nobody did anything egregiously bad today. I got nothing.
So I came up with one. And
okay.
It's something I mentioned to you at practice, which is part of my, like, goes into the formula for me for doing this. Because it's like genuine. It's authentic. It's something I'm saying anyway. Yeah. Like, oh, look at that thing that happened, good or bad. And J.J. Arcega-Whiteside got reamed out at one point by Jason Michael, the Eagles tight ends coach. It was on a running play. I didn't see exactly what happened, but he was not happy. And he went up to him after the play, and he was kind of like screaming at him. And it caught my attention. That's how I noticed it. So, and it's also kind of just a cumulative thing. Like, I just don't think, you know, the change, the tight end has moved the needle at all. You pointed out to me the Eagles listed like J.J. like six on their tight end depth chart. Feel bad for picking on him, but it's, you know, it is what it is. He's the LVP.
You know, I'll give a cumulative one as well, because I was just looking through, before, you know, when training camp started, I named my locks, near locks, bubble players, and long shots. Mm-hmm. And I ranked the five bubble players I think are the most likely to make the team. And then I just looked at my locks to make sure they're all still locks. And then I looked at the near locks to see if there was anyone maybe not so much a near lock anymore. And to me, I think it's Jaquaski Tartt,
yeah.
who maybe is no longer a near lock at this point.
I thought about this too.
So he's got he missed the last couple of practices with a personal issue. I don't know what it is, and hopefully it's nothing bad. And certainly if he's going through something bad, like, that's not a reason for him to not make the team. Don't get me wrong on that. Hopefully, like, and certainly I don't want this podcast to be published and then we find out later and it's something like, I don't mean to laugh even, but it's something bad. And we, you know, I look like a jerk or whatever. But before he had the personal issue, he's basically invisible. And, you know, Denard Wilson, the Eagles defensive backs coach, made the point. I mean, he spoke early in camp and he made the point that Tartt had been signed after OTAs and before training camp had begun. So you know, he's learning the defense and trying to assimilate into the defense. And sometimes at the safety position, you know, that can take a little time. But he's like a 7-year vet, 6 or 7 year vet or whatever he is. Shouldn't take as long for a guy like him as a rookie, for example. And, you know, I've certainly seen other safeties that are new to the team make plays this summer, and he's basically just been invisible. And Tart himself talked one day, seems like a really good dude and a guy that's easy to root for, took, I don't want to say the blame, but certainly, you know, was self-critical of the dropped interception that he had in the NFC Championship game. When Niners Rams, Matthew Stafford gave him a gift and he dropped it. He was very accountable about that. So I like him and I like his mentality, but he just hasn't done anything. He's just not a near lock for me anymore. So on a cumulative basis, I'll go with Jaquaski Tart.
In defense of Tart's game, I don't think we're going to see him make plays really ever. Like, that's just who he hasn't been in the NFL.
Yeah, fair.
I don't think that's his game. I think there's something to his game, and I can't speak to what extent, but there is something to, like, when he was on the field for the 49ers, they were a much better defense. And when he was off, they felt that more. And I think it's not about him making impact plays as much as he kind of cleans things up and kind of prevents some of the bigger plays from happening and disallowing them just like by being in the right position and know-how and everything, not necessarily making a play on the ball. So I think there is something to be said for that, but it's weird that he's missed several days in a row now. And I mean, he got basically demoted to the third team, right? Like he was playing at the third string behind Josiah Scott, who moved from slot corner to safety during camp. So like, that's not a good sign for him. You know, that he was available in free agency so long, you know, is another thing that, like, okay, this isn't even a guy who was valued much by the league. So yeah, I think it's kind of tenuous for him right now, especially if you're looking at, like, how is he going to be able to battle for a roster spot if he's not even out there? I'm guessing he's not even going to play on Friday. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but currently, you know, he hasn't been practicing. That might hurt his chances of playing, and that's another opportunity where he's not going to be able to prove himself to the team. So I think it's a fair – I was also thinking about including him more as a cumulative thing. Hopefully whatever he has going on is not that serious and everything is going to be okay and he can get back soon and battle for a roster spot. What was your play of the day?
The throw from Hurts to Pascal for all the reasons I noted earlier.
Okay, I'm going to go with the Brown one. So kind of split those there.
Okay. Yep.
And I think that's pretty cut and dry. We've already gotten to that left side. I'm writing that down. I said it out loud because I'm writing it down, and I want to process it like so. All right. Any final thoughts by you, Jimmy?
Yeah, I had a fun chat with Mike Quick.
Oh, yeah.
In our little interview series today.
The best guest you've had on so far. I'll say it.
I mean, I was a little kid, and I remember watching the Pro Bowl back in the day, and the Eagles sucked when Mike Quick was in his prime. So I don't think young Eagles fans realize how good that guy was when he was in his prime. Like, second year in the league, 1983, led the NFL in receiving yards with 1,400 something. And in those days, like, 1,400 yards was, you know, the equivalent of, I don't know, like 1,800 yards today. And then he made 5 straight Pro Bowls from 1983 to 1987. During that span, the Eagles did not have a single winning season. They went from Dick Vermeil to Marion Campbell to Buddy Ryan, and the team stunk in the years that Mike Quick was, you know, with the Eagles and in his prime. Actually, that's one of the things I asked him, like, you've embraced the Philadelphia area and vice versa. And, you know, you made this your home or whatever, but did you ever wonder like what your career might have been if you, you know, been on a better team? And he was honest. He was kind of like, yeah, I guess, you know, and he, not a question that he really wanted to answer, but he sort of acknowledged it. But I had a very fun conversation with Mike Quick, who is legit, like, Eagles great, but just had the misfortune of playing for the team when they weren't very good. And certainly has been, you know, a great broadcaster alongside Merrill Reese for the last couple decades, I guess. I don't know exactly how long he's been doing that with Merrill. But, really, really underrated athletic figure in this city, in my opinion.
And also underrated as a broadcaster, I would say, in terms of, like, I think there's a lot of athletes who probably mail it in or take the easy route, and he doesn't do that. He goes to training camp every single day, and he was talking about it in your interview. I listened to it, and make sure everyone, obviously, go listen to that if you didn't already, about why he wants to be there and why he thinks it's important to, and not only to be there and watch the practice, cause that's one thing, but he also consumes a lot of, like, media too, to, like, get even better sense of what's going on, including here at Bleeding Green Nation, which I'm always honored that Mike listens and, you know, reads and everything. And he's, you know, made that clear over the years. And I thanked him for coming on today. And he's like, anytime you guys want to have me on, I'm always down. So yeah, really cool guy. Great player. Can't say enough good things about Mike Quick.
Agreed.
Good vibes. Good vibes. Got it. Like, training camp, you know, there's just good vibes coming out of his direction. I don't think I have a final thought today other than, you know, this is the final training camp practice before the Eagles' first preseason game, which again is Friday, and we will have complete coverage of both me on Bleeding Green Nation, you on Philly Voice. So that'll be fun to be back at the link. It's always fun to see, you know, to go to the link for the first time, I feel like, for the first game, preseason game. You know, you get to see, like, you know, the press box seating chart and everything. I mean, you're usually in the same spot. But sometimes it's different for me, or sometimes the people next to you can be different, I feel like. So it's kind of fun to see that from a little inside baseball perspective.
Who do you sit next to in your press box spot?
So
it's Evan Macy,
Evan Macy's
right?
to my left, and then Al Thompson, last year at least, was to my right. That hooligan, Jack Fritz, who works for WIP, sneaks in because, you know, he's producing, like, the whatever the pre and post game shows for WIP at the stadium. So he'll sneak in and he'll usually stay for, like, the first half of the game there because, you know, he has time to kill anyway. So he'll sneak in for a little bit and sit between Evan and me. But yeah, so there you go. And we'll see if it's any different. And we'll all take a press box picture when they're on the field, when they're there on Friday night. So, you know, that first preseason game rolls around, all of a sudden the real games will be starting. So, exciting times in Eagles world. You want to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast here so you're not missing any episodes as we continue to chug along. BGN Radio, obviously brought to you by Righteous Felon Craft Jerky. Go to righteousfelon.com. Discount code BGN20 for 20% off your order. You want to go to roachrealtors.com to contact Kristen Roach if you're looking to buy, sell, or rent a house. Or you can call or text this number.
856-906-9295.
So we will not be podcasting on Thursday because the Eagles have the walkthrough, as we already mentioned, and then they have the game on Friday. So we'll be back with you, I guess, what, on Sunday for the next Eagles training camp practice podcast review?
Yeah, whatever you want to do. We can maybe do one after the game if you want to do that, or we can do one just after the next practice.
Right. I think we might touch on
all good by
some
me.
Of the things, but the next practice is Sunday is what I was getting at, right? Yeah. So the next practice is Sunday. If you don't hear from us after the game at some point, I'm sure we'll touch on some of the things from the game, maybe mold that into the post-practice podcast as well. Cause then they're off on Monday, right?
Yeah, I don't know if they're off or if they have a walk through.
I mean, we're off.
I know whatever it is, we're not invited.
Okay, yeah, so maybe we can go a little bit longer on that one. So then the listeners have that for Monday, and then they'll be back in Philly for practice. They'll be practicing at the NovaCare on Tuesday, then they travel on Wednesday, and then it's the joint training camp with the Browns. So that's what's coming up. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brandon Gouton, Jimmy Kemsky on Twitter and Instagram at Jimmy Kemsky. We keep it simple for you. You want to check out at Bleeding Green for the BGN's Twitter account. I want to check out at BGN_radio for BGN Radio Podcast Twitter account, where all the episodes get tweeted out by Rachel, typically there. Have some good articles up at BGN. Jimmy, Johnny Page just did an interview with the Chip Wagon, one of the Ryan from the Chip Wagon. So some interesting kind of perspective on the Eagles offense ahead of this season. So that's a good article up on BGN right now.
Love Ryan.
Yes, some great insight. And along with a lot of other good stuff, obviously, my practice notes in there and other things. So go check that all out. And we will talk to you sooner than later.
Goodbye, everybody.
BGN.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes, and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.
From data privacy to the future of TV, retail media, and beyond, the world of digital marketing is constantly in flux. So how can you keep up? Well, The Current Report is there for you. Each week, marketing leaders on the cutting edge give you the latest insight. So if it's creating a buzz, they'll be talking about it. Subscribe to The Current Report wherever you get your podcasts.